Kiss Me 39 Times by Yin. Are they serious? Rodney's voice climbed an octave in three words. I believe that they are, Taylor said, her brow wrinkled in confusion. They want 39 kisses as a show of harmony and caring among the expedition. John looked up from where he'd been studying his hands. Can we spread 'em around, or does it just have to be two people for the whole 39? Taylor conferred with the delegation of Hunterans gathered in the conference room. Rodney, Zelenka, Lorne, McKay, and Elizabeth all sat on the edges of their seats. John looked at his left thumbnail. One pair must kiss 39 times, Taylor said. The delegates behind her smiled and nodded, as if she'd just introduced them to ho-hos or something. Zelenka looked at Elizabeth. Elizabeth looked at Lorne. Lorne looked at Taylor. Ronan looked at Taylor. Taylor looked at the ceiling. Rodney looked at the floor, and John looked at his right thumbnail. The Hunterans moved restlessly. John looked up from his lap and looked straight at Rodney. Everyone else looked straight at Rodney. Rodney continued to look at the floor. Rodney, John said. Rodney looked up, blinked about 7 times, then looked around the room at everyone staring at him. He looked from face to face, saving John for last. When John's eyes met his, he smiled and blushed. John stood up before sitting on the edge of the table, spreading his knees. He looked at Rodney, then looked at the piece of floor between his knees. Rodney. Floor. Rodney. Floor. Rodney for 10 seconds. Floor for 1 second. Rodney. Rodney blushed harder, but he got up from his chair and moved to John slowly. When he was standing between John's knees, he lifted his hands, not sure what to do with them. John took Rodney's wrists in his hands and pressed his hands downward. Rodney caught on and placed his palms on John's thighs, cupping the strong muscles. John's hands came up to bracket Rodney's face, and Rodney leaned forward. John's lips were soft, and Rodney couldn't stop himself from opening John's mouth with his own and sliding his tongue along the inside of John's lower lip. Rodney's fingers tightened on John's thighs and ran his thumbs up the inseam of John's pants. John deepened the kiss, his own hot, slick tongue touching Rodney's, sliding against it and into Rodney's mouth. John moaned, and after a second, Rodney did too. John started to pull back, but Rodney reached up with one hand and grasped the back of John's neck, keeping him close. John's thumbs stroked the hair over Rodney's ears. Rodney traced his tongue against John's own for one more second, then eased back, sucking on John's bottom lip. John stared at him, eyes wide and dark, and Rodney stared back. Behind them, several people cleared their throats, and Lorne said in a strangled voice, "One." 17 to 18. John was breathless when he asked, "Lorne, how many was that?" Lorne coughed, but his voice was husky when he replied, 17, sir." The Atlantis team, as well as the Hunteran delegates, were all sitting in the conference room chairs, but none of them were relaxed. Everyone was pretty much sitting at attention, their eyes locked on John and Rodney. John had Rodney's face in his hands, and Rodney was leaning heavily into the touch, his eyes bright, lips red and swollen. "How are you doing?" John asked. "I'm okay," Rodney said. "Feet hurt." John got up from the table and walked Rodney back a couple of steps. Ronan pushed a chair into place, and Rodney sat heavily. "Ready?" John said. Rodney looked up at him, eyes still shining, and patted his thigh. "Come here." John climbed up to straddle Rodney's lap, rolling his hips to get comfortable, and also to rub his ass against Rodney's hard-on. Rodney snaked a hand up to capture the back of John's neck and pull him in close. "When we're done here," he rasped into John's ear, making him shiver, "we're going back to my room, and I'm going to fuck you." John pulled back and smiled. "Okay," he said. "Ready for number 18? "Bring it," Rodney said with a grin, turning his face up to John's.
23. Good God, they're only at 23, and Lorne thinks he's going to die. He can tell from the stretching and shuffling of feet that McKay's legs are starting to go to sleep, so a position change is imminent. He doesn't know if he can stand whatever might come next. Really. He catches Weir's eye. She has a high flush on her cheeks, and her eyes are a little unfocused, but she eventually blinks and comes back to herself enough to pay attention to him. He points at the door and mouths, "Men's room," at her. She nods dumbly. Lorne puts his hands in his pockets and hopes the whole control room can't see his hard-on. They all look up curiously when he comes out. They've been in the conference room a long time. He tries to look casual as he makes his way to the nearest bathroom, trying not to run. Thankfully, the bathroom is empty, and he hurries into the first stall and locks the door. He unzips and has his cock in his hand within 2 seconds. He's so fucking hard that it isn't going to take much. He tries to think of anything else, anything but his commanding officer curled around McKay, elbows on Rodney's shoulders, hands tangled in his hair. He tries not to think of McKay's hands, big, capable-looking hands, holding Shepard's hips, his thumbs curled around to the front. He gives up and thinks about Kiss 23, the one that made him have to leave the room. Shepard and McKay had managed to turn their heads to the perfect angle to give Lorne a clear view of Shepard's long fingers tracing the ridge of bone behind Rodney's ear with gentle fingers, a glimpse of their tongues sliding against one another. He was close enough to hear McKay laugh huskily into Shepard's mouth, to hear the returned dirty old man chuckle. As soon as he said, 23, sir, Lorne knew he had to get out of there or come in his pants. One hand on the wall, he shakes hard as he comes, trying to make sure his uniform remains stain-free. It's not like everyone in the room doesn't know why he left, but there's no need to make it obvious. He zips up and steps out of the stall to wash his hands and splash cold water on his face. The walk back to the conference room is much easier. As he opens the door, he hears Ronan's voice, even lower than usual, say 25. All the rest have 31. After kiss number 30, Elizabeth pulled 2 bottles of water from the small refrigerator behind her desk and handed them over. John sat up straighter in Rodney's lap and drank most of his down at once. He caught Rodney staring at his throat. John could feel a line of water run from his mouth to his collar. Rodney drank about half of his own water and licked his lips. They looked like they were getting chapped. John wanted to bend his head and lick them, but that might count, and he was determined not to waste a kiss. Roddick tapped his shoulder and handed him a chapstick. John reminded himself to save some of the really good coffee for him the next day, assuming he could walk the next day. The balm was warm and soothing on his lips. He rubbed them together before putting on another layer. He passed it to Rodney, who did the same. John took the tube back and tossed it blindly to Roddick, who caught it neatly. John looked down at Rodney. Position change? Rodney smiled. After this one. John let himself be pulled down to touch their lips gently together. Then Rodney pulled him even closer. Kiss number 31 was all slick lips and water-cool tongues, and John fell into it, thinking that he'd forever get hard at the scent of cherries. C-38. 37, Taylor said, and her voice was a low purr. Rodney glanced over and was pretty sure that he could see that Ronan had his hand under the table and that it was in pretty close proximity to her leg. Between kiss 31 and kiss 32, he and John had moved to a different position, one that had Rodney sitting on the floor with his back to the wall. John was between his legs sideways, with his own legs neatly curled under Rodney's left one. This allowed Rodney to lean on the wall and John to lean against Rodney's upraised right knee with his arms draped around Rodney's neck. It was a little cuddly, but they'd been running out of ways to do this without serious circulation issues. The spectators had all adjusted their chairs to have an unobstructed view. Almost done, John murmured into Rodney's neck, and Rodney rubbed his nose across John's temple. You sorry? Rodney didn't lift his head. Nope, John said. I could do this all night. Rodney pulled John close, hitching his hips forward to push his cock against John's thigh. Maybe not all night. We'll have to sleep sometime. John lifted his head, and Rodney traced his tongue over the perfect cupid's bow of John's lower lip and then bit it playfully. John's hand in his hair pulled him down, and Rodney fell into the kiss. One for the team. Sean, the leader of the Hunterian delegation, clapped his hands together loudly once. Colonel Shepard, Dr. McKay, if you will join us. John unfolded himself from the floor and helped Rodney to his feet. The rest of the Atlanteans stood. The men all adjusted their clothing. Sean smiled beatifically at everyone around the table in turn. We are pleased with your gesture of harmony and good faith. I don't believe we have ever seen such an offering of this ritual. The other Hunterans smiled and nodded enthusiastically. Sean grinned at them again. As is traditional, we shall all join in the final kiss to seal our alliance as friends. At his words, the Hunterans turned to one another and exchanged kisses on both cheeks, much like the Russians. Zelenka nearly killed himself trying to swallow a laugh, and everyone else just looked poleaxed. "Ah, fuck it," Lauren said, and bent Elizabeth back over his arm in a kiss worthy of the final frames of a black-and-white movie. When he came up for air, he turned to Zelenka and did the same thing. At that, Ronan wrapped his arms around Tayla and pulled her off her feet, kissing her through both of their laughter. John stared at Rodney, who stared back. John wondered if he looked as languid, disheveled, and well-kissed as Rodney did. John stopped thinking when Rodney cupped his face gently in big, warm hands and pressed a chaste kiss to his lips, whispering, "Tonight."
39 plus. 39. It was fast becoming his favorite number. It was also fast becoming his least favorite. Once everyone had recovered from the whirlwind of kissing, the Hunturans had given their version of the ubiquitous farewell ceremony, which seemed to be as endemic to the Pegasus Galaxy as the inevitable harvest festival and the occasional fertility ritual. The ceremony was long and boring, and Rodney couldn't concentrate with all of his blood in his dick. The farewell ceremony lasted, of course, 39 minutes. Rodney couldn't even look at John's flushed face as Elizabeth went through their own version of the farewell ritual. The one they'd developed when they finally noticed that they were the only ones who didn't have one, and everyone else seemed to expect them to have one. After John and Ronan had taken to making up ceremonies on the spot, ones that mostly involved some sort of game that had them hopping around on one leg and quoting Motley Crue lyrics, Elizabeth's was a little shorter and much less stupid. It also didn't require Rodney to know Shout at the Devil by heart. He had won his lobbying effort to end the ceremony with So Say We All, though it still made Elizabeth frown at him. Finally, it was over. Elizabeth and the others ushered the Hunturan delegation down to the gate. Rodney and John just sat at the table and stared at one another. They both still looked utterly wrecked. Rodney leaned back in his chair and ran a hand through his rumpled hair. He flashed back to his favorite kisses. John straddling his lap, heavy and warm, a solid weight across Rodney's thighs, hard cock nudging Rodney's belly, pokey elbows digging into his shoulders. John's hands threaded into his hair, big and hot against Rodney's scalp. John's mouth on his tongue flicking into Rodney's mouth. His helpless laugh when John sucked lightly on his lower lip, John's own dirty chuckle shivering into his mouth. Those thoughts weren't helping. His cock was still pushing against his rough trousers, the damp cloth of his boxers magnifying the sensation. Rodney shifted in his seat and looked over at John. Curled up between Rodney's legs, he shouldn't have liked that position so much, especially in front of his team, Elizabeth, Lorne. Didn't matter. Sitting on the hard floor, his back supported by Rodney's knee, his arms up and around Rodney's neck, Rodney's hand on the small of his back. It made him feel smaller somehow, protected. It made him sink even closer to Rodney's solid body, right there in front of his team, Elizabeth, Lorne. Rodney's other hand holding his hip, his fingers tight around the back, his thumb stroking over the curve of bone at the front. Rodney's cock hard against his hip. Fuck, he was hard. If Rodney leaned over and touched him, just laid one hand lightly over his cock, well, John would lose any opportunity to look at all cool when they left the conference room. He'd never think of a way to cover a large cum stain. Besides, Rodney would likely have to carry him out after. The end to all of the teasing would be explosive. He was drawn back from his thoughts by Rodney saying, "Something." "Tell me about inventory," Rodney repeated. "Tell me something dull and boring and stupid. Then I'll tell you something dull and boring and stupid, and we just might get out of here without coming in our pants." He closed his eyes when John shuddered and let out a quiet moan. "John," Rodney growled, "inventory." "Okay," John said, obviously trying to control his breathing. "First, you have to find the forms. They're never where you left them the last time." As long as he didn't look at John's mouth, Rodney thought, he might make it. Shop talk worked, thank God. John had kept his eyes focused over Rodney's left shoulder the whole time he discussed the inventory process, just like he'd explained it to Lorne a long time ago. Of course, he hadn't had a raging hard-on that time. Halfway through Rodney's carefully boring overview of polymer chemistry, he finally softened. He sighed with relief and raised an eyebrow at Rodney. Rodney stopped talking, then glanced down into his lap before looking up to give John a small smile. "Out," John said. I don't think we have long to get back to your quarters before we embarrass ourselves. He gestured toward Rodney's head. Straighten your hair. You look like you've been making out for a couple of hours. Stop talking, Rodney said, reaching up to straighten his hair. You say anything, and we'll be in here talking about inventory and polymer chemistry for another 20 minutes. John's breath caught, and he stood, straightening his uniform. Rodney nodded at him. Try for discretion, or just go out together and not care. John decided to let Rodney lead, and followed him out of the conference room. As they walked across the bridge and toward the residence corridors, not one person even looked at them. Damn, John thought, that grapevine is fucking fast. They made it to Rodney's quarters and stepped inside. All the way there, Rodney had wondered if it would be awkward, if they would just stand and look at their hands or the floor. That turned out to be a waste of perfectly good worrying. The door closed, and John was on him, pushing Rodney to the bed, shoving him down, and climbing onto his lap, hands already moving up to tangle on Rodney's hair again. John rained gentle kisses onto Rodney's face, muttering and groaning between kisses. Fuck, he said. I can't believe I stayed hard through most of a chemistry lecture. Every time you said put or in, I couldn't help it, couldn't stop it. You, Rodney said. I had to listen to you talk about guns and touching things to count them. I may never look at crates again without getting hard. John leaned down to rub his face against Rodney's, then he pushed, winding up straddling Rodney's prone body. Oh, Rodney said, breathless. Good one. God, he'd been thinking about this all day, about how they were going to do this when they finally got the chance. Would he get to feel John's cock in his mouth, in his ass? Or did John want him to be on top? And if John did, how the hell was he supposed to keep from coming before he got more than halfway inside? Stop thinking, John said. Just kiss me. Kiss me, Rodney. Instead, Rodney pushed John back, pushed him upright and back one step, so he could get to his feet between John and the bed. Take off your clothes, Rodney said. I want to kiss you lying down and naked. When John's fingers came up to his own shirt buttons, Rodney moved his hands to John's belt. I can't believe I'm finally going to get to touch your cock, Rodney said. I want to get my hands on you. He started unbuckling John's belt. Fuck, fuck, John moaned. Rodney. His voice was thready. I'm going to come when you touch me. I can't wait. It's okay, Rodney said, his hand pausing, barely resting at John's hip, his fingers feeling only the rough cloth. I can't wait either. Rodney snaked his hand into John's pants, and it happened. Just as promised, John came the moment Rodney touched his cock, his fingers digging into Rodney's shoulders. Rodney pushed John down on the bed and fell over his body, barely catching himself on his hands. He managed to get his mouth over John's before he came hard. They kissed until Rodney's arms started shaking. He heaved himself over to the side, lying next to John. Sorry, John said, still catching his breath. That was fast. Rodney smacked him on the hip. You call coming after 3 hours of foreplay fast? You're setting the bar pretty fucking high. Fucking, John said. God, that sounds good. Rodney laughed weakly. Gimme a minute. Okay, gimme an hour. John grabbed Rodney's hand and kissed the back of it. You want to clean up? Yeah, Rodney said, brushing his thumb over the back of John's hand. I liked it, you know, John said. I liked kissing you. Me too. Rodney was kind of shocked at how easy it was to say. The motion of his thumb stopped, and John squeezed his hand gently. What? John asked. Rodney closed his eyes and took a deep breath, but he had to know. Why didn't you pick one of the others? John kissed the back of Rodney's hand again, then levered himself up on one elbow. He smiled brilliantly at Rodney. Because none of them were you. The end. Reader's note. This is the first podfic I've ever done. I did it in honor of Yin's birthday for her Yin Fest from 2008. And even though it is horribly, horribly late, I just wanted to say yet again, happy birthday, Yin. And I love this story. And I'm so glad I got an opportunity to read it. That's it.